But it talks about July 4th, 1776. Actually, it was 2 days prior. On July 2nd, the Congress met, and they approved the idea of separating from the United Kingdom, from the British rule and control. And on July 4th, 1776, the Continental Congress declared that the 13 American colonies regarded themselves a new nation, the United States of America, and were no longer part of the British Empire. This is powerful. This is, you know, these people were brave. I mean, if you think about it, what it took for them to come to this decision, to drive a stake in the ground and say, you know what, we are no longer going to be a part of this British Empire, for all they do is they oppress us and they tax us and they want to rule us from the other side of the sea. When we're over here and we're our own people and we want to do our own thing and we don't want to have to be under their thumb any longer. And so on July 4th in 1776, a bunch of men got together. And they had this Declaration of Independence that they had worked on, all written out. They signed their names to it. It's interesting, I don't remember the exact names. If you go to Wikipedia, you can go and read. A couple of the actual signers actually died later on July 4th. I thought that was interesting. I think there may have been three presidents who died on July 4th, and there was one president who was born on July 4th. That's interesting. For those who, you know, who think about those kind of interesting things. But what I want to talk about this morning is some parallels of the Declaration of Independence and becoming a Christian, because there's certainly parallels. Now, anybody who would want to say that, you know, our nation was not founded by Christian principles, I'm sorry. You don't read enough about the founding fathers, and you don't read enough about the founding of this country, if that's what you believe. I've come to learn that people will choose to believe anything. I got a guy, anybody ever heard of the Flat Earth Society? There are people that truly believe that the earth is flat today. Oh, and they got proof. Oh, yeah, it's unbelievable. NASA, what was that?
They said flatheads.
They're flatheads. Well, you know. And that just, it scares you, because you realize that people can be led astray very easily. They believe that NASA is lying, none of the images that you see from space are real, and all this stuff. But people will believe anything. And so it's important that we know what we know, that we come to understand what we know is real. And the truth of it is, this country is founded on biblical principles. Now, of course, anybody who does not want to believe in Jesus Christ, they want to find another avenue, and so they want to declare that, no, this nation wasn't founded on God's principles. But that's just not true. And so I want to talk about some parallels between the Declaration of Independence and becoming a Christian. Now, according to that little statement right there, it says they regarded themselves a new nation. Now, how many know that when we come to Christ, it all becomes new, right? The world as you knew it is now over, or should be, and everything changes. When we turn to Christ, we become, regarding ourselves as a new nation, we turn to Christ, we become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. We need to, as soon as we come to Christ, it's very important that we get this understanding that regarding our own life, we don't want any part of it anymore. And unfortunately, just like the British, they wanted to keep control of America. They wanted to keep control of the colonies. Our old life still wants to keep control of us, doesn't it? But the men who wrote that Declaration of Independence, those brave souls who got together and they came up with this is how we're going to conduct ourselves. They understood that they had to have a complete separation. And we as believers in Jesus Christ, it's very important that we have a complete separation from the sin in our lives, from the old ways that we used to view the world, from the old rule and the old control that the world had over us. The Bible regards it as being born again. It says we start a new spirituality. We begin new spiritually. We become born again when we confess our faith in Jesus. Look at John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." What's he saying? There's a major change that has to take place, or you are not going to see the kingdom of God. The men who wrote the Declaration of Independence knew that if there wasn't a major change, they were never going to be a kingdom of their own. America would never be independent. In John chapter 3, verses 5, says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, he asked Jesus, he said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? You know, the idea of being born again is something that is foreign to the mindset of somebody who's in the world. It's hard to understand. What do you mean, be born again? Have you ever said to somebody, hey, you need to be born again? They look at you like you got three heads, right? What are you talking about? In verse 5, Jesus answered him. He said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless one is born of water and of the Spirit. And so we start one way and we end another way. Now I could get into the idea of being born of water, which is, you know, how we are born in the flesh. Our flesh, the content of our flesh, the majority of it is water. We're born in water. And I believe there's a reason why we, you know, God created us in such a way, and he put this earth here in such a way, and he did it for, you know, a purpose, and we could get into all that, but that's another whole message, the reason why we have to be born on this earth before we can go into heaven or be a part of heaven. But the truth of it is that we can no longer be what we were. We have to be born again, but it's a spiritual birth. The truth of it is, however, prior to turning to Jesus Christ, we are still living our lives spiritually. Do you understand that? People who don't know Jesus are living a spiritual life. They're being controlled by a spiritual world, by a spiritual kingdom. Just like America back in the day was being controlled by the British, people who are not saved are being controlled by the kingdom of this world. And Jesus says you must be born again. In the way that you get born again spiritually, this is something, again, that it's hard for some people to grasp sometimes. It's hard for, you know, believers to really fully comprehend. But the idea is this, is the moment that you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you awaken spiritually. Something happens. When you confess Jesus Christ is the Lord, something happens inside you spiritually. You become born spiritually. You become awake spiritually. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. You see, by faith you begin your spiritual walk. Had an awesome conversation with a young lady earlier in the week. Had all this stuff going on in her life. And you know what? Let me encourage you. When you're dealing with people who do not know Jesus, at the beginning of that conversation, tell them about Jesus. Because, you know, I could have talked to this person all day about their problems and quoted all kinds of scriptures that deal with their problems and all of the stuff that was going on in this person's life. But the first thing I did, in this, and I'm finding this to be very effective. I'm just sharing this with you because I want you to be effective as well. I'm finding this to be very effective. What is the point in talking to anybody about anything if they don't have a solid understanding of who Jesus Christ is and that He died on the cross for our sins? That should be the first part of the conversation. Because if they don't have an understanding of God and of Jesus and of sin and of death, and that we should die for our sins, but Jesus paid that penalty for us on the cross and then rose again, and as the Bible says, we believe, we put our faith in Him, then we too can have eternal life. And so I always start the conversation off. I use Revelation chapter 4 verse 11 to set the foundation. Had the opportunity to share with the Fatherhood Group that, oh, I love the Santa County Office Building Fatherhood Group. They're on break for the for the summer. But the other night, with a group full of men, county officials and these and that, they gave an open door. And they told each one, they said, okay, you know, what was the question? There was a question. Oh, what is the goal of a man was the question of the day. What is the goal of a man? And I knew where they were trying, what they were trying to get to, the idea of men or boys becoming men, then becoming patriarchs, a patriarch being like the grandfather type figure who's able to teach the young ones, where you no longer have that, you know, the boy inside you leading you astray. And you're more than just a man who, you know, who has put their childish things away, and now you're being, have become responsible as a man. You're more than that. Now you're someone who can, are to that point in life where you can teach others. And I know that's the direction they were going based on the pamphlet they gave us. But when they said, they gave an open door, they said, okay, each one of you, based on your experience, what's the goal of a man? Well, you don't want to give me that open door. You know, I reminded them before I started speaking, I said, you said, based on my experience, what's the goal of a man? And I always start the conversation with Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Because that tells me that God created me, and that tells me that God created me for His purposes, and it was His, by His desire and His design and His plan that I'm created. Therefore, my goal as a man is to please the God who created me. That's my goal. And I'm able to sit in front of all these men and these county officials and share Jesus Christ with them. It was awesome. But I do the same thing. Every time I talk to somebody who does not know God, I start right there. Because if you don't know the meaning of life, what's the meaning of life? To please the God who created us. Well, that opens up another door. Well, how do you do that? Well, let me tell you. And I share the gospel, and I did it there, and the county official's sitting there like, wow, that was a good sermon. I'm like, hey, you asked me based on my experience. There's my answer. But I share that also with this person that called me on the phone with all this stuff going on in their life. You're here because God wanted one of you. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And if you will turn to Him, if you will love Him, if you will read His Word and learn who He is and His principles and His ways, your old life will what all this stuff that's going on in your life right now won't even matter. Because you will learn what eternal life is all about. You will learn about the love of God. And I walked this person on the phone through the Romans Road. I said, write these down, these scriptures down. Because I knew the person was struggling. When I said, turn, do you have a Bible? Yeah, they go get the Bible. And there was right quick. I was glad. Oh, you've got it right there. Great. Turn to Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. And I'm like, are you having trouble finding it? Well, yeah, I can't quite find it. So I knew the person didn't know how to find places in the Bible. I said, listen, write this stuff down. I made sure she wrote it all down as I was going through so she could go back later. And I shared the Romans Road. We're all sinners. You guys have heard me say this enough time. I hope you're starting to repeat it to others. We're all sinners, fall short of the glory of God. The penalty of sin is death. And I mentioned to this person, I said, you know, the wages of sin is death. That's why, you know, God started it in Genesis. You know, Genesis, God told Adam and Eve, do whatever you want, but don't eat that tree, because as soon as you eat of that tree, you die. And this person goes, oh yeah, I just read that. Great, I'm so glad. You understand, a lot of the people that come your way, God's already working on their heart. You don't have to do all the work. The Holy Spirit's already working. And so you just confirm what the Spirit is doing. And so I went all the way through the Romans road, all the way to salvation, all the way to the point where I asked them, you've got a choice to make. I cannot be the Christian for you. I've given you the information and you've agreed with me all the way. I always ask people that when you go through the Romans road, do you believe this? Do you believe that you're a sinner? Yes, I am. Do you believe the penalty of sin is death? Yes, I do believe that. Do you believe that God loved us so much that he sent his only son to pay that penalty for you? Yes, I do believe that now. I didn't know that before, but now I do, and now I believe it. And I get them all the way to that place where, if you will repent of your sins and turn to Jesus and believe in him, that you'll be saved. Yeah, I do now. Okay, do you want to make that decision? Praise God, this person did. And I prayed with them over the phone. I'm looking forward to meeting them. They're away this weekend. Spiritually speaking, that person became born again the moment they confessed Jesus Christ. I may be way ahead of myself. Yeah, not too far. Romans 10, 9, and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I love that. You will be saved. For it's with the heart one believes unto what? Righteousness. Why am I righteous? Because I believe in God. That's it. That's the only reason. Because on my own, I am not righteous. But in him, I can be. And with the mouth, confession is made unto what? Salvation. Why am I saved? Because I proclaim Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And nothing else. And from the moment that I did that, my life changed. From the moment I made a decision, just like the men who signed on to that Declaration of Independence and all of the people in the colony, the 13 colonies, they made a decision. I am no longer going to be a part of that old kingdom. Starting new today. And so just like the United States leaving Britain and starting a new nation, we have to separate from the kingdom of this world and start new in God's kingdom. Who loves God's kingdom? Whew, thank you, Jesus. Unfortunately, it's hard not to love some of the things of the world anymore, isn't it? That's one of the reasons why so many people struggle to get saved. They don't want to give up. You know, and I'm sure that back when this was all taking place in America, there were people that didn't want to give up the security of being ruled by this kingdom in the ways that they already knew. In fact, you can read about the Revolutionary War, how certain people switched sides. They said, you know what, I think I'm going to stay with British. It's not always easy to make such a drastic change, but it's very important. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. In order for America to become America, they had to completely come out from the British. And for us to become believers and Christians, to become a part of God's kingdom, we have to come out from the kingdom that we're a part of. Don't you wish sometimes there was an island, someplace called Christian Island, where we could just all go there and no longer have to deal with the stuff in this world? Well, that place will come. It's called New Jerusalem. It's going to come out of the sky one day. We're all going to go there, and there'll be no more sorrow, no more death. And so just like America is no longer part of the British Empire and its rule, we are no longer part of the kingdom of this world and its rule. Praise God. That should give you some joy. You know what? The kingdom of this world no longer... And we need to confess some things. And if it's not true, then we need to catch up with our confession. Confection. Isn't that what they make cake out of or something? Pies? I don't know. Confession. We need to confess some things. I am no longer a part of this wicked, evil world that's ruled by Satan. You know what? You make that confession, there's going to be some opposition, right? When America said, you know what? We are no longer a part of you people, there was some pushback. Started a war. When we make a sound decision and we make it known and we proclaim, I am no longer living by the ways of this world, but I am going to live for Jesus Christ, there will be some pushback. Your flesh will push back. Your friends will push back. The devil will push back, and there will be war. But it's so important that we make that decision. And it's so important that we stand by it. And it's so important that we confess, you know what? I am no longer a part of the kingdom of this world. I am a part of the kingdom of God. People should be able to tell. You fly a different flag now over your life. The banner of Jesus Christ. We lift Him up. Jesus, when he was talking to Pilate, in John chapter 18, verse 36, Pilate was saying, you know, are you a king? And Jesus said, you're the one that said that. But Jesus, he didn't say too much during that interview, but he did say this: my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. When people say to you, how come you don't drink? I had a conversation the other day. Somebody said, well, don't you drink anything? No, I don't drink anything. Why not? Because my kingdom is not of this world. When I tell the guys at the jail or wherever that I no longer look at pornography, they look at me like I got three heads again, and they're like, are you kidding me? I'm like, no, my kingdom is not of this world. That needs to be my answer. I'm not a part of this world any longer. Why do you go to church every Sunday? Don't you know your grass is up to the windows? You should be home taking care of your house. No, my kingdom is not of this world. Anybody's grass up to the windows today? You get it cut in between the raindrops, maybe? It's getting kind of tough. Hard to do. But my kingdom is not of this world. Why do you homeschool your kids? Because my kingdom is not of this world. And if your kids are in school, well, why is it you can't just go along with the rest of the class and read this book? Because my kingdom is not of this world. That's a good answer. When somebody ridicules you for doing the right thing because you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you just simply say, hey, I'm sorry, my kingdom is not of this world. First John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, we have a clue here in verse 16. of things that we have to be very, very aware of. This is something you should highlight, circle, you know, it's one of those verses. Be very careful of the lusts of the flesh. What are the lusts of the flesh? The lusts of the flesh are the things that you want to do that you know are outside of God's will. How do you know? Because the Holy Spirit is convicting you. Somebody told me the other day, I had this go on in my life, and I said, and I was really uncomfortable. This is somebody that's very new to spiritual things. I did this, and I was very uncomfortable. I've never felt that before. I said, well, you're experiencing some conviction from the Holy Spirit. See, I said it right, conviction, not convection. Conviction of the Holy Spirit. Because you have decided to no longer be a part of this world. What I told this person is, you have decided not to allow, you have declared Jesus Christ, which means evil spirits that you have been involved with, they're still going to be around, but you can't fall to them and have influence in your life anymore. But you have called on the name of Jesus, which means the Holy Spirit now has influence in your life. And the Holy Spirit influence in your life is telling you, hey, don't do that. That is not pleasing to God. That is the lust of the flesh. We've all had that Holy Spirit check in our life. That's one of the signs. The other day I wrote down the signs of sin in your life. And there's several of them. I'll tell you about them someday. But one of them is that Holy Spirit check in your heart before you go to do that thing. It's a sign that that thing is sin, and God does not want you to do that. Lust of the eyes. Be careful, little eyes, what you see, remember? The Bible talked about, you know, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. Woo. Job said, I'll not let my eyes look upon a certain thing. Would not look upon a woman with lust, I believe is what he said, Job. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Ooh, did you see Sandy's new Cadillac? Hallelujah. Beautiful. It's beautiful. It is awesome. Now, Sandy, that is not... God bless you. I am so glad you have that Cadillac. But I better not lust over it with my eyes, right? Or with my heart. Hallelujah. In the pride of life. That can take shape in so many ways. Pride comes before the fall. Pride says I'm more important than you are. Pride says I get angry if you offend me. Pride says all kinds of things. That's pride. Pride says, well, I should have been promoted, not the other person. Pride comes all kinds of... You know, these are things that we need to be aware of and catch in our own life. But verse 15 kind of declares it. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Because if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, I know Sandy, and if God was to take away that Cadillac, Sandy would be okay. She might get a little angry, but Sandy would be okay. Why? Because her love is not for the things of this world. But because her love is for God. Always keep in mind, when you see something in this world, oh, I just got to have that. Always keep in mind what verse 17 says, the world is passing away. Even that too will be gone. Do not love the world. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We talked about this verse last week. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to this world. You know, it's interesting that Paul says this, do not be conformed to this world. He's talking to the Romans. I believe he's talking to the church in Rome. Now here he's talking to the church, which means here's a body of believers, people who have turned from the ways of the world and are now following Christ, and Paul is warning them not to go back to the ways of the world. Do not be conformed to the ways of the world. And I think that's an important message that we understand as a body of believers, that we have to be careful. Even though we've been serving the Lord, doesn't matter how long, Satan is always right there trying to get us to conform to the ways of the world, right? But just like in America, we are not to conform to the ways of Britain. Britain is Britain. America is America. We follow a whole different rule. We follow a whole different constitution. When you become a believer, you become a part of the kingdom of God, and God does not want us to conform back to the ways of the world. I find it interesting, you know, when as we as a nation progress and move forward, and I don't want to say evolve, because, you know, that creates a whole conversation. Oh, evolution, no. As we grow, there are people that will say, well, look at what's being done over in England. Let's do that. No, let's not. Let the British do what the British are going to do. But can't we make up our own mind? Aren't we a people of our own? Aren't we a sovereign nation? Do not conform to this world. And you know what? Churches do this. Hey, you know what? This works really good in the business world. Let's do that in the church. No, let's not. Maybe some of that stuff it seems to work, but we're the church. We should have better plans. We should have better ideas. We should be relying on God's kingdom for the answers and not the kingdoms of this world. Do not conform to this world. Look at Psalm chapter 1. Very first Psalm. Thank you, Sarah. You know, are you reading the Bible on your phone? I love that. As long as the ringer is silent. Yeah. I know some pastors get all offended when people are doing this. They're reading their Bibles. I know a guy that doesn't use a Bible anymore. When he goes out and preaches, he evangelizes all over, and he's got a tablet, and he preaches. Oh, there's some guys that don't like that. It's the same word. It's the Bible. Matter of fact, there's more of it in there, isn't there? You can pick a translation. They're all right there electronically. It's awesome. That's the proper use of your electronic device in church right there. Have the Bible open on it. If you're going to have it out, have the Bible open on it. Psalm chapter 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and wherever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, verse 1 there. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. What's that mean? It means blessed is the person who no longer walks in the way of this world and this kingdom, but walks according to the kingdom of God. And he gives, in verse 3, a description of that person. What is the joy of living in the kingdom of God? It says he will be planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. How many know it's important for Christians to bear fruit? Anybody read that somewhere? Well, verse 2 says, if you delight in the law of the Lord, in His law you meditate day and night, you will be somebody who produces fruit. Is there anybody here among us who is a believer in Jesus Christ that does not want to bear more fruit? I hope we all want to bear more fruit. Because I want to be planted by rivers of water and bring forth fruit, that my leaf shall not wither, and that whatever I do shall prosper. How many would love it? Oh my gosh. Wow. I say that because this week has been an example of taking three steps backwards and only a half a step forwards. We're not just... In other words, things haven't been prospering the way I want them to prosper. Anybody have one of those weeks? I went somewhere and there was somebody else I talked to. Same thing. You know, all day long I worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and tried to accomplish this, and when it was all said and done, I was in worse shape than when I started. Like, what? Well, according to Psalm chapter 1, I think that's a sign I need to get in God's Word. I need to get in prayer. I need to be meditating on the Lord's ways. But when you come to Jesus, you declare your independence from the world and live in the newness of the kingdom of God. When's your Independence Day? My Independence Day came 1983, Christmas Day. That was the day that I declared Jesus Christ is my Lord. That was my Independence Day. If you've yet to have an Independence Day where you denounce the ways, the kingdoms of this world, and you choose to start living in the kingdom of God, then let today be that day. Where you no longer live under the rule and the reign of the kingdom of this world. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray the Father, he will give you another helper, he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now, that is a very interesting statement. The world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. If you think about the ramifications of that, wow. The world cannot receive the Spirit of truth because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. And so, the Spirit of truth, what does the Spirit of truth reveal to us? The Spirit of truth reveals to us that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Spirit of truth reveals to us that God is the creator and designer of all this world. The Spirit of truth leads us to the kingdom of God and away from the kingdom of this world. I'm going to close with a sentence that's considered to be the most famous sentence of the Declaration of Independence. I trust you've all heard this. If you have not heard this in a school that you go to, you need to go knock on somebody's door and say, hey, we need to hear this. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now again, if you're one of those, or if you've heard of some of those who say, oh no, we weren't based on Christian values, well, I think then you need to do a little study on this particular sentence in the Declaration of Independence that says that all men are created equal and endowed by who? Their Creator. Creator. If there's a Creator, then there's a designer. If there's a Creator, then people who believe in the Big Bang Theory, they got Where did that come from? You know, the age-old question between the evolutionists and the creationists. Well, where did God come from? Well, where did your Big Bang come from? It had to come from somewhere. Created by our Creator. We have certain rights. Life. How many know that God is about life? I put a quote online. I think I shared this last week. I can't remember where. We in the flesh, we start out in life and we end in death. But spiritually speaking, we start out at death and we end in life. Why? Because God is about life. He's about eternal life. Everlasting life. Liberty. The word liberty is freedom. Hallelujah for freedom. Thank God for freedom. Thank God that we are free in this country, although every time a law is written in Congress, we lose a little bit of our freedom. Do you know that? We need to be careful about the laws that are written in Congress. Matter of fact, I would love it if Congress would get together and look at all the thousands of laws that have been written and passed and go back and look at them and say, you know what? We don't need this and we don't need that. And we need to get back to the original intent of this Constitution where we live free. Now, I understand certain laws are there to promote the safety of, you know, the whole. But a lot of laws are there just to steal your money and take control. I don't want to get on that soapbox today because that's... But the founders of this nation believed in freedom. And we as a nation need to continue in that freedom. And the pursuit of happiness. Is anybody that doesn't like being happy? I love being happy. Hallelujah. I choose to be happy. There are times when it's not so happy and I have to force myself to be happy. Anybody have that? You need to learn how to do that, because I'll tell you what. Now, I don't promote this, but the happiest I ever was, I had my eyes done. Laser surgery. They gave me a Valium. Boy, was I happy. I just had this. I understand why people take drugs. Like, wow. My wife was like, would you shut up? I'm like, I'm just so happy. Yeah, she said, I hope you're happy when that Valium wears off, because you're going to be in pain. But you know what? God wants us to learn how to be happy without the Valium, right? That's the world's answer. If you are no longer part of this world, then declare it by staying substance free. That doesn't mean if you get a headache, you can't have an Advil or whatever, you know, I mean, I believe God gave us medicine for the right reasons, but unfortunately people abuse those reasons. There's alcohol on the earth. God's got a purpose in it, whatever that may be. Maybe the purpose is to separate the men from the sheep from the goats. I don't know. Think about it. I'm not going to elaborate on that. You think about that for a moment. But we as believers, again, I'm talking about parallels between the Declaration of Independence and us becoming Christians. What are the truths that we hold on to? That we recognize they are self-evident. That we are created equal. I read a verse earlier today that talked about in the kingdom of God there is neither male nor female. Why? Because we are created equal. Just like the 13 colonies separating from the rule and reign of the United Kingdom, we as believers separate ourselves from the ways in the kingdom of this world. And if you haven't, if you still got 1 foot in the world and 1 foot kind of close to or maybe just inside the kingdom of God, let me encourage you to put both feet into the kingdom of God. Oh, Troy is just chomping at the bit to share something. Yeah, I want people to hear it. I'm trusting, Troy, that you have something good to say.
Actually, it has to do with that. I was, it's just weird, you know, as you were talking, these thoughts had been in my mind all week. And yesterday while I was driving, getting a haircut with my son. And I never do this, but I put my iPod on, or my iPhone, and I put it on shuffle. And I got a lot of music on my phone, but I never do that. But it just so happened yesterday when I was driving home, Stephen Curtis Chapman's song came up, and it was called Declaration of Dependence. And I was just thinking about it. I'm like, I've never, you know, you just don't, when you say declaration, the next thing that comes to mind is of independence.
Amen.
But the song is the Declaration of Dependence. And I was reflecting on it, and of course the main theme of the song is, I'm declaring my dependence on Christ. And when we look at, you know, our, what you got up there, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we talked Thursday night about freedom. And about the fact that, we didn't use these words, but I was thinking about it here. Freedom as individuals is really an illusion. Because we are always slave to something. Mm. That's what the scripture tells us.
That's right.
And when we declare our dependence on God, we have achieved what true freedom is. And we talk about the pursuit of happiness. I read a book a few years ago. And the author was talking about, actually the name of the book was The Pursuit of Happiness. And it was by a Christian author. And he was making a point that when the founders wrote this phrase, pursuit of happiness, they weren't thinking in terms of what we think of when we talk about happiness. What they were talking about was, we have the right to pursue what we ought to. Mm. That's what they were breaking away from England, because they didn't have the right to worship God the way they felt they needed to do the things that they knew they ought to do. And so to have a pursuit of happiness is really, like Stephen Curtis Chapman said, is to declare our dependence. And I like how you said, we declare our independence from the world. And at the same time, we're declaring our dependence on God. So I was chomping at the bit the whole time.
Hallelujah. I could tell. He's just squirming in his seat over there. Hallelujah.
But anyway.
Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. The framers of the Constitution, and that's exactly what they were doing. They were declaring that they were going to be dependent on themselves as a nation. Independent on God, actually. But independent from that which oppressed them. One last portion of Scripture. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 19. It says, so he came to Nazareth, Jesus did, when he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now, isn't that interesting? Jesus, as it was a custom of his to go to church. Praise God. We should follow his example. People that say, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, Jesus did it. If Jesus, the Son of God, thought it was important to go to church, I think, yeah, we ought to go to church. And he stood up to read. What's that mean? I'm really curious about how they used to do church back then. Jesus, did a lot of people stand up to read? Like, did they say, hey, who wants to read the word? And a whole bunch of people stood up, and Jesus was one of them? I don't know. You ever see that? We've done that in the past, where somebody comes along and or a pastor says, hey, you know, so-and-so, read the word this morning, you know? Well, Jesus, it became Jesus' turn. They handed him the book, the prophet Isaiah. When he opened up the book, he found the place where it was written. I'm also curious about that. Did he just like flip it open and there it was? Or did he search for it and say, okay, let's do this? I don't know. But what he read was this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those that are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, what Jesus was saying there, I'm here for a purpose. And that purpose is to set people free. The reason why the Declaration of Independence was written up is because they wanted freedom from a kingdom that was oppressing them. And Jesus wants to set us free from the kingdom of this world that does nothing but oppress us. Amen? Stand with me, if you will. Today, when you go to picnics, who's going to picnics? Anybody going to picnics? If you get opportunity, share the love of Jesus with somebody. Because Jesus wants everyone to be free. Remind them that, yeah, America has declared independence from the British rule, and I, as a believer in Jesus Christ, declare independence from the rule of this world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you give us each the opportunity to declare our independence and be set free from this world that oppresses us. And I thank you, God, as Troy had mentioned, that we become dependent on you. I thank you for that because we can trust you. We know that your kingdom is not one of oppression, but it is one of life. We know that it is not one of captives, but it is one of freedom. Father, you give us the opportunity to choose whether we want to live by the ways of this world or whether we want to live by the ways of your kingdom. And we stand today united. Even as the men back in that day stood united, we choose today to be independent from the ways of this world in order to be set free. God, I pray right now for anyone in this place who is yet to separate themselves and to come out from the world, that today would be the day that they declare their independence. They call upon the name of Jesus and be set free. That they would believe in their heart unto righteousness and confess with their mouth unto salvation that Jesus Christ is Lord. That today be that day. And I pray, God, for every person standing in this place, that the Spirit of truth that we so read about would lead each and every one of us to places where we would be beside rivers of water and we would bear much fruit. And God, that you would use us to be that army, ever standing firm and strong in this war against the ways of the world. Bless each one this morning, God, on this wonderful holiday weekend. We thank you for this land that you have given us to live. Bless America. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful afternoon. Again, Wednesday, we'll be here at prayer at 10 a.m. Celebrate Recovery 7.